Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. Up in about 25 minutes, we'll let you hear Dan Quinn with Dukes and Bell yesterday. He's on with them every Tuesday at 3:10. And they started off asking about the end of that football game against the Cowboys, Randy, rightfully so. And among other things, Dan Quinn said they knew the rule. Mm-hmm. They knew it. They knew what they were supposed to do. You know, NFL Network replayed that game yesterday. And one of our friendly listeners was nice enough to tweet us early in the fourth quarter and say, don't turn on NFL Network. And of course, that meant I had to turn on NFL Network. There it was.
You remember
Falcons 39, Cowboys 24. And
you remember me on Monday when I kept. You remember me on Monday when I'm sitting here watching the TV. I'm like, damn, they keep showing this damn play. You kept turn it off, and I was like, I'm trying to.
I can't.
Man.
I can't look away. And I did. I sat there. It. I sat there and watched the end of the Nuggets Lakers game on one TV, and the damn fourth quarter of the Cowboys Falcons game on another TV. I was like, there's no way they'll do it again. Like, they'll figure it out. They're up 15 with 5 minutes left. They're not going to blow this game. Mm-hmm. And then they did. They did it again. Mm-hmm. So we'll let you hear from Dan Quinn, the entire interview coming up in 20 minutes or so. A couple clips from it in just a minute. Wanted to get to this, though. This is from Adam Schefter. And we know that Justin Herbert made his first career start for the Chargers over the weekend because Tyrod Taylor was injured in pregame warmups, is what we were told. Not exactly. Apparently, Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff while trying to administer a pain-killing injection into his cracked ribs. I mean, you're fired, right? Like,
dude,
that's...
Let me tell you, and I loved the Chargers when I was there, James Collins and those boys. They're the athletic staff, you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
When you get those injections, an actual orthopedic surgeon, actual doctor does that. You know, they have, every team has doctors that they travel with them everywhere and on the road, and they're always at the home games. They administer all the painkiller shots, the Tylenols, the IVs, all that. So the athletic training staff themselves do not do all that.
Good,
Andy. I've had my ribs shot up 3-4 times. I ain't never thought that this could possibly happen. Never. I mean, when I saw it, I was like, hold on, what? They punching his lung, giving him an injection for his ribs? Like, damn. And believe me, that shot, that needle is as long and it hurts as bad as you think it does. Yes, it does. It hurts. When I saw a puncture his lung, I'm like, damn.
Yeah, you really got to miss.
You got to miss.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, and sometimes we hear about botched medical stuff in the NFL. Like, the Browns had a really bad batch of staph infection like 15 years ago, and guys were getting really sick. Wasn't there something really bad in St. Louis?
They had that staph out there in St.
Right,
Louis.
Right, that staph infection in St.
Yeah,
Louis.
Yeah, like it happened right before I signed with them. I didn't even go to St. Louis after I signed for like 3 months. I was like, okay, cool, check cleared. I'll be out there later on. But no, they had to clear the whole building, Andy. They had to clear the building. They had to disinfect the whole building. And, you know, and like while we were there, it happened. It was on a Wednesday, matter of fact. It was another outbreak on a Wednesday of a game week. Coach sent us everybody home. And like, we didn't come back till later on Thursday afternoon after it was disinfected. And then, you know, Chargers, you know, my man Chow, I love Dr. Chow, but Dr. Chow got into some malpractice type stuff, you know, and everybody knows that. And you know, that was Junior's main man right there. But yeah, but Dr. Chow, he's been gone for the Chargers. Like, he was gone before I even got there, so he's been gone. But, yeah, I mean, you done messed up out there, L.A. because punctured his lung?
Punctured his lung with a syringe. God,
again,
dang it.
It hurts.
You know what that makes me think of is that scene from Pulp Fiction. Remember when Uma Thurman was having the overdose and they had to jam the syringe into her chest to inject the adrenaline? Ugh. I don't like needles that much.
No,
you
I don't
like
about
needles.
Dude, I hate needles. I hate needles just as much as anybody, but I need to play. So we're going to stick that needle up in me. Going to stick one in my right cheek and one in the rib and one in the finger. Let go.
Do you look away?
No. I'm a man, dude. Stick. I don't even look away. I'm a man. I done had needles all over my body, Andy.
Okay. I haven't. I mean,
yeah.
You had to,
man,
you know,
I'm awesome.
You had to play in the NFL. You always
give me that shot.
You always say the biggest thing that people don't understand, having not played at that level, is pain tolerance. Like, to be able to make it through one season, let alone 11, the amount of pain that you have to be able to handle is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't.
That's crazy.
Obviously. One of the many reasons. All right, let's get to the most important audio in the world, the big clip of the day, brought to you by Johnson & Alday, injury attorneys. Visit JohnsonAlday.com.
He was banged up with a knee injury through camp, and we're not going to put him out there just like we wouldn't with anybody until they're ready to get rolling. And so he's very close, and so we're certainly looking forward to him throwing a good week. And if it all goes like we expect, certainly get his first playing time this weekend. But let's take him through the whole week, and he's certainly making huge progress. And if he can be himself and have the kind of week we can, then we're ready to let him rip.
That's Dan Quinn talking about Marlon Davidson. Hopefully Marlon Davidson can get on the field this weekend, miss the first two games. Be nice to see Kendall Sheffield too. Now, I don't know that Kendall Sheffield is like the cure-all elixir for all of the problems that the secondary has had, but it'd just be nice to have another option. Like, if you feel like Isaiah Oliver's out there getting torched, which he was, maybe you let Kendall Sheffield get a shot and see if he could do any better. Now, A.J. Terrell's been good. Let's be honest about that.
He's been solid.
Isaiah's been targeted.
He has been. I'm not going to blame A.J. Terrell on that, on the middle read by Amari Cooper on Keanu Neal. I'm not going to blame him on that. I mean, it was covered too, and it was no threat, but there's no way he was rerouting Amari Cooper on that play. But yeah, I mean, he's been playing solid. He's been solid. You said this last week against Seattle because you were talking about them targeting AJ Terrell because he's a young guy. No, they're going to target the weakest link. And right now, Isaiah Oliver has been the weakest link so far, man. But the thing is, Andy, is that we only see the plays that he's given up. I bet he's been solid in coverage, honestly. I bet he has been. But you only see the big plays that he gives up.
Yeah, but if the big plays you give up are,
those plays.
Game-changing catches before the 2-minute drill and touchdowns on four. You know what I mean? You're right. It's a thankless position for the most part, especially when the defense is getting demoralized the way the Falcons defense has been getting treated. You only see the really bad moments. But, when there's enough really bad moments, it doesn't really matter how many good moments there are. Like, if the bad moments are that bad.
He's been bad. He's been bad as far as giving up big plays. And saw that Raheem had his media session, Ray Morris. Yeah, no blank. You got to stop giving up big plays. Duh. Yes, you got to stop giving up big plays and play better in the red zone.
Thank you.
Duh.
Thank you. Let's try to, baby steps. Big plays, that'd be good. Let's try not to give up 30 points in the second half this Sunday. That'd be good. 77% completion percentage for the quarterbacks. No way Mitchell Trubisky can do that, right? Mitchell Trubisky's got to be somewhere down closer to average than throwing for many yards.
I mean, he has ability, Bunk. Let's not get it twisted. The young man, he has ability. All right, he's won NFL game. He's led them to the playoffs. I don't want to make it seem like he has no business being in the NFL. I'm not going to say that because the man has gifts.
Let it come back week one. I mean, he had a good fourth quarter week
one. He can play football. I mean, I think his biggest obstacle that he won't live through his whole career is that Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson was drafted after. Yeah. But I mean, Mitchell has gifts. He just ain't special. Like number two overall should be special.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully the Falcons don't make him look special. Make him look average. Try to take advantage of a weakness that an offense may have. They haven't been able to really do that yet. Here was a cool moment from Sunday, and I don't know that anybody saw this on Sunday, but it's since been released on video. Not a lot of great moments from the game Sunday between the Cowboys and the Falcons, but Hayden Hurst and Dak Prescott after the game. Here's the audio.
Hey, I got a lot of respect for what you did. Came out and talked about. Me and my mom have a foundation about suicide prevention.
Yeah.
Respect the hell out of you for talking about it, man.
Appreciate you, brother. We can collab one day.
Absolutely.
Very cool for Hayden Hurst to seek out Dak Prescott after the game. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows Dak Prescott's brother and what they've been going through this year. And it's kind of, I don't know, ironic isn't the word. Terrible timing that Skip Bayless got his contract renewed today, given what he said about Dak Prescott and him dealing with that and being having depression and being honest about it. Yeah, it was crap. It's total. Just like anybody from that network is crap. Don't listen to anything Jason Whitlock says about Maria Taylor. It's all nonsense and
it's
garbage.
All crap.
So
it's
we're not going to spend any time on it. That right
it's all crap.
That's
all
leadership.
Crap.
And that's great from both of those two men.
Yeah, great job. Great job by Hayden Hurst, man. And we all know that the demons and stuff that he had to overcome and everything, and he's been very public with it, man. And yeah, Dak, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, when you open up and you have some jerks that think that you know, that with their hot take, that they can say something dumb like that and not be held responsible. I'm not surprised by what's going on with that with Skip. I mean, I met Skip a long time ago when it was Cold Pizza was on the show. He was cool with me, but then he found a gimmick. The gimmick is getting him paid, and it's a god-awful, trash-ass show. But, you know, I watch it sometimes because of Shannon. But other than that, yeah, good for those two guys.
Yeah. And again, it sounds like they're going to work together at some point. Can't wait to see what that actually looks like. And you know, kudos to them for finding a moment, even at the end of a football game, especially the way that it went for the Falcons, for Hayden Hurst to seek him out and have that conversation. And now everyone's seen it, and you know, they'll get together at some point and work together. The Braves did a very good thing last night. For the third consecutive year, Randy, they are the NL East champions. This guy right here, I don't know that they could have nailed it anymore with Marcell Ozuna. Was great again last night.
Fly ball, that is belted deep left center field. Ozuna's done it again. A 5 RBI night for Marcell Ozuna, and the Braves have scored 11.
Seriously, this guy's got 17 home runs and 53 RBI in 55 games. Like, that's what Marcell Ozuna did as an Atlanta Brave this season. The idea that he was the consolation prize when Josh Donaldson wouldn't take a lower contract. I'm glad that worked out the way that it did. I mean,
yeah.
It would have been cool to have Donaldson back. He gets injured. Don't know if he would have been injured, if he would have been in Atlanta, whatever. His numbers aren't as good as Ozuna's. It's been unbelievable how good Marcell Ozuna was and is for this baseball team, and hopefully he can continue on and do it in the playoffs as well.
He's been a perfect fit, man. He has been, and I think we've talked enough about. He just seems like he's a perfect fit, you know. And I was hearing, heard Chip Carrington last night on the broadcast talking about, you know, they can't go into the clubhouse, but it just seems like, you know, he just vibes with the guys, you know, just real easily. I don't know about next season. I just need him to keep producing right now, and then we'll worry about next season for next season, you know, because we don't know what the economic, you know, ramifications are going to be after this year for the entire league. So we'll wait and see. I'll enjoy him in the lime green orange sleeve and enjoy this team, man. Because right now, offensively, they're clicking. It's good to see some guys. It was good to see Dansby, you know, because he was struggling a little bit. And I told you so, and I was the only one supporting him. Dansby people, they were real quiet the last couple of days. But, you know, they came back last night hollering, "I told you so." So good for Dansby. Good for Dansby. Good for the squad.
He was three. Dansby.
And good for the damn Wankster Bryce.
Yeah.
Because he had an out-of-body experience. Now, we need more of that, all right? You ain't off that wagon yet, just like, you know. But do this again. And we might get you up there. We might get you up there in a seat where there's a cup holder. Yeah.
You want to hear from Bryce Wilson, the Wankster, last night after his out-of-body experience? We've literally never heard from him on the show before.
Come here.
All right.
It was just incredible. You know, I never really saw myself, you know, over the course of the season, everything that's been going on as far as, you know, me struggling a little bit at first and then, you know, been able, like, putting in the work down there at the alternate site. I never really imagined that I would start the game that we clinched. So it's just been incredible.
Neither that's did great. I, Bryce.
That's that's kind of big too, because he did, like they did clinch the game he started. So sure I remember did. I saw people like, "Who the hell is Bryce Wilson?" A lot of us don't damn know because he's been a wankster since he's been here. But
yeah, I mean, he didn't know he was going to start on Monday. You know, Cole Hamels was supposed to start the game yesterday, and then Cole Hamels gets hurt and he's out for the rest of the year. Nobody knew Bryce Wilson was going to start that game earlier this week, and then he comes in and does what he did last night. And this is maybe the best illustration of how ridiculous the Braves starting rotation situation is. Nobody knew Bryce Wilson was even going to pitch again for the remainder of the season. Cole Hamels calls in sick with his shoulder. He's out for the rest of the year. Bryce Wilson gets called up, pitches good on Wednesday or on Tuesday night. They clinch. And now Bryce Wilson's in the playoff rotation. Bryce Wilson pitched his way onto the playoff roster yesterday. And he might, if they win the first round series, which I expect them to do, Bryce Wilson is going to pitch, what, game four in the second round? Like, that's it. You had one good start. Now you're the game four starter in the playoffs. Congratulations. Welcome to the 2020 Atlanta Braves starting pitching situation. The only bad thing about Marcell Ozuna hitting all those home runs is he might be stealing some MVP votes from Freddie.
Yeah, possibly. What did you call him? MV free?
Yeah, I love MV free. It's good.
I love it.
It's very good. It's very creative, MV-free.
I love it. And I can't get over the fact that people like Almond Joys. John Checkery coming to the rescue. So, fine. Y'all like Almond Joys. Good for y'all. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, it is
I still won't, I'm still not going to back off my stance.
What is your stance again?
That it's for old damn people.
That's fine. I can live with that. We'll come back and let you hear from Dan Quinn. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. The full interview, everything Coach Quinn had to say. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian. And they're actually damn good today, Randy. He told me what a couple of them were. They're spicy. One of them's a very spicy question. We'll get to it.
I don't like him to tell me. I like to be able to come up, go off the cuff with it. You know how
I know you do. You keep it organic. Yeah. I know that. I just want to be able to tease one of them generally. So I just want
Brian
like
got
that.
Some hey, here's the tease. Brian got some damn questions about to come up.
I know, but people are like, "Oh, sometimes they're bad. I'm going to switch over to switch over to oldies or something like that, you know? Today they're really good. Don't switch over to oldies. Keep with us. We're better than oldies. Today and every day. All right. Dan Quinn was on with Dukes of Bell yesterday, as he is at 3:10 on Tuesdays. Long conversation, so let's jump right into it. They started off by asking him, who is ultimately responsible for special teams decisions?
Yeah, sure. I can hit all that with you, Carl. And I think you've known me for 6 years, so I'm never, ever in the blame game. And so I am responsible for all of it. And I would say for you and for the fans, let's make sure like execution and not be in situation where they're two different things. And so on the onside kick, you know, certainly if it's short and you don't have to, you know, touch it to field it, you don't have to. But honestly, when the ball goes flat and then it starts, you know, moving up towards the restraining line, then yeah, you got to go pounce on it. And so, yeah, we're all bummed that we weren't able to nail it like we wanted to. And that falls on all of us. And so, you know, I was, you know, certainly a tough one to have. It was one of the reasons we lost. It was not the reason we lost. But, you know, we all learned from it. But, yeah, two different things of execution and awareness. We knew what to do, but not executing it in that moment. Yeah, that part hurts, but that falls squarely on me.
And the thing is, Coach, these guys are professionals. I mean, you know, if one guy has a mental mistake, when you got five guys who don't look like they know the rules, what do? Make them run sprints? I mean, how do you handle that as a coach? What do you say to these guys?
Yeah, I'll go back to you, Mike. They did know the rules. I wanted to make sure when you don't play it like you want to, yeah, you're bummed and you're just, you know, couldn't have been more, you know, upset. But I don't want to get the, you know, into the weeds on that. The main thing is when the moment happens, you got to go pounce and be aggressive on the ball. And we'll always preach that. But it's a lot to learn from it. It's a hard lesson. Like I said, it's not the, you know, the one reason we lost. There's a number of plays that, you know, we needed to make to finish it out, to go get the job done. And, you know, it's a hard one, man, and that's the life we live. But it was definitely a difficult locker room and week. But that's the part about the NFL, man. The next matchup's here, and you've got to go get ready. And that's where our focus and our attention is as we're heading into Chicago.
We're going to talk more about the Bears. It is another big week for our Falcons. Dan Quinn, our guest, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. And coach, you're right. I mean, you know, bottom line, it shouldn't have came down to that. It should not have come down to that play, right? I mean, honestly, the way we're playing, we're kicking their butts. It should not have come down to that, but it did. So I want to ask you, the mental lapses that we've seen here in the first couple of weeks, you know, what do you say to your players, and how do you explain the mental lapses that cause us not to be in position to win?
Well, I think, Carl, number one, we said, like, no more tail of two halves. And so let's make sure this thing, we're ready to take it as long as it has to go. And the things I was pleased about, you know, seeing the turnover margin improve, seeing us have, you know, the protection and stay committed to the run game. So those things I liked. But this thing has got to go the whole time, man. So, like, no more tail of two halves. It has to be the whole thing. So, you know, as you're an angry team and you want to make sure you're, you know, setting the course for the whole entire game. And so that's what we, you know, our intent is and what we're looking to do this weekend for damn sure.
Head coach Dan Quinn's with us here, guys. Here are the Bears and the Falcons right here on the game on Sunday. Pass rush looked great. I mean, the first series. Tack looked great before, obviously, he had the groin injury. Was it adjustments by the Cowboys, or why weren't we, or it looked like a fan, Dan, like we weren't as aggressive in the second half or as effective with the blitz? I love when you dialed up that mismatch with Debo coming off the right side. We didn't see that in the second half.
Yeah, we had some pressures, and some of them came out more quickly than we'd like. But losing Tack and Dante Hurting was certainly a factor. But at the end of it, like you said, we've got to be able to execute in those moments to make sure that you always have ways to affect the quarterback. Sometimes that's with four-man rush and, you know, good disguise of coverage. Other times it's, you know, blitzing or an overload or playing man-to-man. But come hell or high water, you've got to be able to affect the quarterback. And so whenever you can't, you know, that's when it gets tough. And we've got to find ways to do that, whether it's through pressure, through disguise, and we certainly are committed to doing that. But that's the goal, man. Make sure the whole time you have ability to affect the QB. That's when, you know, some of the good plays can come where you can get a sack and get a ball out like we did early on a blitz. And I think Deion actually got his hand on another one early. So we'll stay committed in that space, man. You can count on that.
Coach, can you explain why you didn't kick the extra point? We're up 27-7 instead of going for two late in the first half. Your mindset behind that?
Nothing too much on that. Just, you know, to go up three scores, you know, as you're going through it. So, you know, you get that one. And when you're going into those, you know, you certainly have a sense of going to make them. You know, you're not going in there like, oh, I hope it works out. You have a good thought of what they're going to do and the play to go drive it up. And we're going to stay aggressive. That's, you know, really where we're, you know, wanting to be in terms of the aggressiveness. So that was all. And you make it, it flips the other way. You know, you're in a different space at the end. So that was it. There's always things to look back on after a game that, you know, say when it doesn't work out, what's the cause. But there are a lot of things that you do that you like when you are aggressive. We were way better on fourth down. I think it was last week we were talking about this time where fourth down just really was the, you know, the indicator for the game. We had two on offense we converted, stopped two of their fake punts. And so not to be able to nail the two-point play and give us a lead that we wanted, that was a big factor.
Is that from the book all coaches have?
All of us do, yeah, and some people use it earlier, some people use it later, and so it's a guideline. It's not, you know, a Bible by any sense to go through. You have to go into this space, so it's just some recommendations based on numbers and analytics, but you always have to trust your gut, and oftentimes you think of the play, you know, and the matchup, and, all right, hey, I think this one, this is the look we wanted, this is what we're going to go, and you take your shot. When it doesn't work out, there's consequences for that, and we recognize those. But you go in with the intention of being aggressive and making the play and moving ahead, much like you do on, you know, on a fourth down moment.
Coach Quinn joining us, guys, talking about our Falcons. Bears are up next. I just want to ask about the attitude of our football team right now, Coach, and I just want to take you back real quick because I think you are a resilient dude when it comes to this stuff. People forget we had to wait to hire you in 14 because you were playing in a Super Bowl that Seattle ends up losing because, well, you didn't get the ball. You, not you, but the team didn't give the ball to the running back. We lose the Super Bowl 16 in Houston. This weekend was a gut punch. And I'm simply laying those things out because you've shown an ability to be resilient. What's the attitude of our football team? I mean, you got fans moping around, Coach, like, damn, you know, we should have had that. We should be 1-1. How do you get your team to respond the way you need to?
Well, I'm right there with you, you know, from the fans. And when you let one slip, you know, obviously, you know, it gets at you, it gnaws at you because at the end of it, it only counts as one, but it was one that you have to have. And so That's the reality of it, where we're sitting at 0-2, certainly don't want to, but you don't get that one back. What you can control is what's next. And when you go through some hard things and there's some shared adversity, that's where some of the strongest foundations come from, and some of the glue that puts a team together. And for us, we're going to go for it as hard as we can, man. We know the W's live at the far end of the timeline, but that's where our hunt is going to be the strongest. And, yeah, we're disappointed. We're disappointed for the players, for the fans, for everybody. But we also know, you know, what's ahead of us this week. And it's a big deal for us to make sure the way we want to play and the identity that we'd like to play with, that's going to be front and center this weekend. And so we're for damn sure ready to get playing.
Dan Quinn with us, guys, talking about the Falcons as we get ready for the Bears. I mean, for what it's worth, we played the Julio soundbite earlier. He didn't make any – I mean, you talked about the hamstring. I mean, that ball is right there. That's a, we're asking for more imagination from Cutter, and that was an imaginative play. But, I mean, the way when things aren't clutch, things aren't happening. Did Julio ever say to you that he wasn't right? Was there ever a time you thought about taking Julio out of the game?
No, and he's such a like an unbelievable competitor, Mike. So one of the things for him, there were some opportunities to go elsewhere based on double teams that go to him. And so in a game like that, think of in the NBA, the guy who has a bunch of assists, like they were not going to let him be a factor on some plays. And so, hey, throw the field post to Calvin. If you look on the long play to Hayden, there was about three set of eyes and a couple of hands on Julio on the play. And so as Hayden goes down the sideline and turns it up, a lot of that is the attention that goes towards number 11. And so he delivers for our team in every way, every weekend. And, like, he is a player that is always ready to get it on every Sunday. And so, you know, not to have one catch deliver, yeah, that eats at him too because the competitor he is. But there's going to be plenty of opportunities for number 11 to make big impact plays for us. And he delivers just about damn near every time. So when the moment comes to go back to him on that play or another one, we'll be looking in that direction.
All right, Coach, let's talk about these damn Bears. They're 2-0. Trubisky, a lot of talk about him going into the offseason. And, you know, I know you're worried about your football team, but just from football circles, people were saying, is he going to be even the starter when we see him? Well, he is. So tell us what you think about the Bears offensively and what you're seeing.
Yeah, so far, you know, what you've seen from them over their first two games is a really balanced attack offensively. They've really committed in the run game. You see Montgomery and Cohen both having, you know, excellent games in the run game. They're, you know, averaging over 140 yards in those two games. So that you feel. They've added some tight ends and Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet, and they certainly can feature those guys in the right space. And then defensively, for them, it really starts up front. You know, they got two excellent edge rushers and Robert Quinn and Mac on the outside and Akeem Nicks inside, and a local guy who's got the kind of speed he and Debo, if you're looking for linebackers, you can run. Roquan and Deion are that kind of crew. So good group to match up with and feature in different ways. And that's the best part about the NFL, man. Each week has different matchups and how we go attack them. And that's what Mondays and Tuesdays, as we get into the week for the game plan, what it's all about. But we'll be ready to fight. I can promise you that.
Wes and Arch will have the call for you guys. 1 o'clock right here on 92.9 The Game. We saw Tack go out. Tack did look really aggressive, and then the groin, we saw him hobbled off the field. What's up with Marlon Davidson? Because I know if you needed Coach, he could play some defensive end. What's up with him?
Yep, and we're certainly looking forward to that. So he was banged up with a knee injury through camp, and he, you know, we're not going to put him out there just like we wouldn't with anybody until they're ready to get rolling. And so he's very close, and so we're certainly looking forward to him throwing a good week. And if it all goes like we expect, certainly get his first playing time this weekend. But let's take him through the whole week, and he's certainly making huge progress. And if he can be himself and have the kind of week we can, then we're ready to let him rip.
Complete injury update right now, Coach. Rico, Caleb McGarry, obviously Foye, who was having a hell of a game. What do you know about their status right now?
Yeah, the good news, bad news, good news. Bad news is, you know, got some guys who got banged up and were knocked out fairly early. It's Ricardo and Tack, and Dante was limping some. Same with McGarry. But the good news coming out that, you know, none of these are going to be long-term. And over the past week in the NFL, I think we've all seen a number of players, you know, getting knocked out. And we hate it for them, for guys we go against and compete against. And but at the end of it, we're fortunate that some of the injuries are short-term. And, you know, as we're going into this week, we'll get a better feel, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday about, you know, availability and practice. But good news, nobody's set back for the long term.
We saw a lot of touches for Todd Gurley in the run game. I know you said before we even played a down that we were not really thinking of it like a pitch count. He should be out there and not Ito Smith, if that's me. But I mean, I know we're talking about Dirk Koetter and how they're using him. Are you satisfied with how Gurley's been used so far?
Yeah, I think as you go through the season, and this is our first you know, season with Todd, so we've been through two games and, you know, how to feature him and what's best and where to, and certainly down by the goal line, yeah, you definitely want him in to do that. So as the identity grows stronger and stronger as the year goes, you know, and roles, you know, start to really cement themselves, I think you'll see some of those things get worked out. And there's a number of guys who are in that space. I think Russell Gage is into that spot. We're certainly getting there with Hayden and some of the things that he can do, and Todd's another one. And then some of the new guys defensively into that spot. Certainly Terrell's worked his way in a good space. Davidson, who we're just talking about, in another spot. You know, Fowler being new, and Darquez Denard. So all of those guys with gaining some experience and some roles together, it should just grow stronger and stronger, Mike, as we get rocking.
Let's hope so. Let's hope it does. We'll come back. That's Dan Quinn again from Dukes and Bell yesterday. Joins him at 3:10 every single Tuesday. We'll come back, get to some damn good questions with Brian, including
my lettuce.
The spiciest JT Daniels take that I've heard. It's spicy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ooh.
Nope, not yet.
Ooh. Ooh.
Come on. There it is. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. 15 minutes away from what's trending. Get you caught up on everything going on in the world of Atlanta sports. Busy day. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to make a rare Wednesday appearance
at
1:20. Rare Wednesday for Smoke and Joe. We'll talk to him coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, and then AMA an hour from right now. So get your questions in. Any question, any topic, we will answer it an hour from right now. There's so many things I want to say, but we teased Brian's questions and his.
Hey man, don't let nobody force us to go off topic. We see you out there, JB. Well, sit in the car, wait on us.
No. I'm saying, like, you know, I want to get straight to it.
I just mess around. Yeah, I just go ahead, dog, because I'm in a foul mood anyways.
Why? What happened?
Because my wife took my damn lettuce.
Oh man, like all of it out of the fridge or just some lettuce off a sandwich?
We made tacos last night. It was a little bit left over, Andy, just for one taco today. And I knew that I was going to have that taco during the Dan Quinn interview, going to get myself ready. And she done took all my damn lettuce.
So was there other taco ingredients or just the lettuce was gone?
She just took the lettuce. But you can't have the taco without the lettuce.
Yes, you can. It's not as good.
I ate the rest of the meat, but damn it, I wanted that taco.
I understand.
Go ahead,
Let's get to Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now. There you go. Stairway to Heaven.
Ooh, nice.
Just like Robert Plant, or just like Jimmy Page.
Oh, that sounded pretty good. Yeah, you know, man, you don't need lettuce for tacos. Lettuce is...
No, but I like my lettuce wrap, dog. I'm talking about I had it set up so smooth, Brian, how it was going to go after the Dan Quinn's interview, hook it up, and let go. Went in there. Dude, I see the spinach. I see the actual salad. I'm like, I know I didn't throw it away because it was a fresh pack of damn lettuce.
Because it's the wrap. You're having the taco actually in a lettuce wrap, right? You're substituting the shell for the lettuce.
Yes, because I've been doing that since I've been on keto. So
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, it's worked.
I'm like, where the hell's my lettuce at?
Damn.
She took my damn lettuce. But you know what? She snuck my lettuce out here. That's why she left the coffee and her lunch on the counter, trying to get out of here before I caught her.
Well, how are you going to get her back? I mean, what's the repercussion for this?
I don't know, man. It's about to, you know. Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. All right, Brian.
All right. On that note, so a lot of talk about the Georgia quarterback situation, who may or may not start. We still have JT Daniels not cleared medically. So do you think possibly that Kirby is thinking about holding off on not playing JT Daniels this week and not getting him medically cleared to have the competitive advantage next week against Auburn?
What?
Yeah,
so
think about
it. That was a tease. Hold on. That was the spicy?
Yeah.
The tease was better than the spice. Whatever. So what?
Oh, you know what?
The spicy take of the day.
You ever been to McDonald's? The commercial right, looks better than the food.
In all seriousness, you don't think you would anything like that would ever cross Kirby Smart's mind?
It's a spicy,
of course it would.
It's very spicy.
Okay.
It's very spicy.
Of course it would. But dog, I thought you was gonna bring some fire.
I mean, it was hot sauce.
You bought probably. Yeah.
I oversold it. Whatever. Still, it's still an interesting question. Okay. And the answer is to me is just resoundingly no. And it speaks to a bigger topic that I wanted to get into, and we need to be real with a couple of things here. Like,
okay.
All season last season, until I don't know when. At some point, I think people realized what the Georgia offense was. But all season, Georgia would put up just a mediocre offensive performance. And so many people would be like, well, they're keeping their tricks up their sleeve for when they play Florida.
I never believed that, though.
Not you. Maybe not you. You're a reasonable person, Randy.
Like, they're not good on offense.
Yeah, they're just not a good offense. And sometimes that's it. Like, that's all there is to it. And here's the bigger picture thing about it is this to me. Like, that is giving a lot of credit for being, like, a master tactician. And, like, Kirby Smart is a lot of things as a head coach. He's good at a lot of things. I don't know that he's a master tactician. Like, coming up with, like, the biggest flops he's had is trying to get creative in moments where he didn't need to try to get creative. So
right.
He's not holding JT Daniels out as some sort of sneaky way to get one over on Auburn. JT Daniels just isn't healthy. Like
what if DeJuan Mathis goes out and plays his butt off this weekend, and what shouldn't be hard against Arkansas? I know Roddy thinks that they're going to come out throwing the ball or whatever. I just really hope they run it so when we talk to Roddy next Wednesday, I can stick it to him. But with that being said, if he comes out and plays well, then why do you play JT Daniels? I mean, I want this young man to be healthy. And the thing about it is he might – I mean, you still got 3 days of game day. So, but I would think that if he's not cleared by now, is he ever going to get cleared? You know what I'm saying? Like, because didn't he have a – I remember he tore his ACL last year, right? Earlier, the early part of the season.
Yeah.
But didn't he have, like, another cleanup surgery or something later on in the year?
He did. Yeah.
See? So you know, he just might not be ready.
Yeah, he's not healthy. I mean, that's it. Like, Kirby's not like some evil genius twisting his mustache, you know, waiting to sneak up on Gus Malzahn. Quarterback's not healthy, so DeJuan Mathis is going to start. Hopefully he does really well, and hopefully he does well against Auburn, too.
Great job, Brian.
Such a hater,
thanks,
man.
Randy. Hey, Donna, I hope that lettuce wrap is awesome.
And she's listening, too.
We'll come back and get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick half an hour away. Talk through the bumper music. It's all good. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.